Hello and welcome to the Soundscape Show. My name is Mark Brady and I have a very special show for you tonight. We're going to be doing a profile of the Montreal electroacoustic music scene. And with me to help me on this task, we have Tobias van Heerden. That's right, van Veer?
Van Veen.
And, sorry. Hi there. And we have Stephanie Lauza. Sorry, Tobias. And so I'm going to introduce these people to you. Stephanie is a experimental filmmaker and video maker, and she does electroacoustic sound as well. She has a BFA from Concordia in film production with a minor in electroacoustic music. Her work has been shown in festivals throughout North America. Tobias is van Veer. Is a renegade theorist and
Van Veen! Has to be Van Veen! One's from the earth, the other is from the sky.
There we go.
That's the Dutch.
It's Dutch, right?
Yeah. Van Veen actually means from the earth. We were peasants.
I thought perhaps it was German.
No, is that, yeah. Well, German would be von.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Tobias would be Tobias?
Tobias would be the European pronunciation.
Right. Good. And you are, according to this piece of paper, a concept engineer at the SAT. Can you tell us what the SAT is?
The SAT is the Society for Arts and Technology in Montreal, which is an organization which grew out of a bunch of people who brought the Inter-Society for Electronic Arts, or ISEA, conference to Montreal in the early 90s. And out of that crew, it was actually Alain Mangeau, who founded MuTech, and Eric Matson, and also Monique Savoie, who went on to continue the SAT, which is now a large space in the middle of downtown Montreal. It's about 36,000 square feet over three levels. And it's a digital arts, media arts space, research lab, and performance space. A lot of events happen there, including MuTech and a number of festivals.
Right. And Stephanie, can you tell us what we were just listening to?
Well, that was an electroacoustic piece, an acousmatic piece, actually, by Philip Carnief. It's called Fibrosis 1, and according to my piece of paper, it was made with an elastic band, a vibraphone, and spectral delay.
Wow. Can you tell us what acousmatic means?
Well, acousmatic music is, I guess, the modern equivalent of musique concrète that started, you know, in France, the French school of electroacoustic composition. And the main difference between acousmatic music and soundscape composition is that in acousmatic music, you'll start with a sound that you'll record, but then you abstract it, and the artist usually doesn't care anymore what the context was in which the sound was recorded. So you're just examining the sound as a sound, the sound
right
for its sound, not its identity.
So is that what we'd call a sound object?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which is distinct then from the source of that sound.
Yes.
And so that was acousmatic, right? And so, and you said that came from musique concrète?
Yeah, yeah.
Which has the same point of view?
Yeah, pretty much. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's just that the term musique concrète isn't really used anymore for pieces that are happening, that are being made now, and acousmatic is sort of the new term, which sort of grew out of
right.
Musique concrète. Although musique concrète also had a long live performance tradition, like when Pierre Henry was doing it was very much the production of live live sound.
Which so it was, not so
yeah, it's not so much. So it's actually quite contextual because they would do things like playback recordings of trains and things, and then slow it down with like old magnetic tape. And yeah.
And musique concrète and acousmatic music, is this tradition founded or based in Montreal, or is it more European or
more French? Yeah.
More French.
Paris, yeah, IRCAM.
Okay.
Yeah, and a bunch of groups like AMM. Do you know AMM? Classic, like, 60s music concrete group. Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie, what are we going to listen to next?
Next is a piece by Félix Boisvert. It's called The Répond, and I guess the sound object or the family of sound objects that he's examining would be phone sounds, Montreal phone sounds.
Let's give a listen then.
And those Vancouver phones, these are Montreal phones, kids. Very. I have one with me. You want to hear it?
I like this music.
et composez de nouveau. S'il vous plaît, raccrochez. C'était un message enregistré. Please hang up immediately and try your call again. This is a recording. Veuillez raccrocher et composer de nouveau. S'il vous plaît, raccrochez. C'était un message enregistré. Please hang up immediately and try your call again. This is a recording. Veuillez raccrocher et composer de nouveau. S'il vous plaît, raccrochez.
Bonjour et merci d'avoir appelé.
Si vous avez un téléphone à cadran, restez en ligne.
Restez en ligne afin de conserver votre priorité d'appel. Merci de bien vouloir patienter.
Thank you.
Veuillez introduire votre message numérique après la tonalité.
Oh, is this thing on? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we are listening to a piece by...
Félix Poivert.
Sorry?
Félix Poivert.
There we go. And you were saying that he's recently won an award?
I think it was in 2003. I don't have his bio with me. He won like a CBC Rising Galaxy Star kind of award for...
Right. And so I guess that's kind of the point of the show, in a way, is to profile people who are young and rising.
Or Luciferian. They're like falling stars now.
Oh, are they?
Nonetheless infamous.
Tobias, how do you feel about this sort of fixation of the on the new or novelty iteration now, as arts... Well, all-consuming routine of change, you know what I mean?
Whoa, I don't know if I do know what you mean. What do I feel like about his art is novelty-consuming change?
Well, we're always as... it seems to me that the art world is often always looking to see what's new. And so, like, this show is about new music or new electroacoustic works. And I was wondering if you'd... comment on that, because maybe, you know, you get to a certain point, you've done a bit of work, and you're like, wait a second, there's all these new kids on the block. What about my work? Do you feel like that sometimes?
Not particularly. I mean, I don't know if I want to position anything that I would do within electroacoustic or acousmatic, but there's really two senses of the new. One is that there's always new work, but the second sense is that you have entire genres such as new music and new media, which are designated by the new to define the genre itself. Mm-hmm. So that would, I mean, they're inherently, you already heard this because you came to the upgrade, but
that's okay. The,
yeah, the listeners
the
probably
one or two people listening out there,
if that. But they're inherently futurist genres. They're genres which are consistently and constantly looking towards to search for new mediums or new media, essentially, to produce new sounds from, which can be extraordinarily limiting.
Right. It limiting in the sense that it's sort of myopically forward gazing, or
mm-hmm.
yes,
because you end up repeating the past without knowing it.
Exactly,
which isn't necessarily problematic or anything wrong with that whatsoever. It's just that you have no idea or nor awareness necessarily of what you're doing, which brings into a lot of questions of exactly what you are doing and what is your whole point.
Right, yeah. There's the. Sometimes I think that the opposite can happen too, is that you feel that someone making some work should find out everything possible about their genre, and that can be kind of limiting to, well, not limiting, just stifling, that you're not productive, you're not making work because you're too busy reading up about or listening to other people's work. But, so, I mean, generally I end up doing both.
Mm-hmm.
And feel that that's pretty good.
I don't know if it's a responsibility actually to access and study the past so much as it is the question is how the heck we ever named a form of art new media or new music in the first place.
Right.
where did that come from?
But isn't that a long tradition, Art Nouveau?
No, it's only about 100 years old, actually.
No, of naming. okay.
Really, though, it really is only about 100 years old.
New media or naming things as a different word, basically meaning new.
Any form of art form which is claimed to be new is only about 100 years old.
Right.
Yeah, it's only within the past 100 years that we've had some strange desire to say new,
right,
a number of things, and then to say neo,
right,
and post.
Yes.
Neoconceptualism.
But it's all neo.
Post acoustic.
Avant-garde, whatever.
Post avant-garde, neo retro futurist. But I'm curious as to what you think, guest on my right hand side.
About which
Stephanie.
Part of this conversation?
I don't know.
Exactly.
That's up to you. I'm not going to...
You know, I tend to go into things, you know, like the fool, and I just do whatever, and I don't know anything about anything. And I think that sometimes can actually hold me back, and then suddenly I realize that I've been enacting a cliche, you know, without knowing it, and you kind of need to know what other people are doing, you know.
Right. So this piece we just heard was using a lot of... telephone sounds.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one way that that's a pattern or a form that we can use to comment on something which is very contemporary, is to sort of remix or include our medium, because it seems like the mediums are let me think about it. They're sort of sedimentary layers that are being deposited. And they each have a tone or mm-hmm. a distinction, mm-hmm. and they like, if you, for example, Tobias, your phone, when it rings, it sounds like an old phone, right?
Mm, yeah, I love it.
And exactly.
Your cell phone.
Mm, yeah, it sounds mm-hmm. like this old mm-hmm. phone.
And it's got that.
I bought it because of that phone ring.
Yeah. So why do you love it?
Oh, I hate the new cell phone rings. I don't know. I just hate the new cell. Don't you? Do you detest the new cell phone rings? No.
The way they
sing Bach to you.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of any cell phone rings that I didn't detest. So.
I mean, this just sounds like some classic 1950s phone. It's like ring, ring. It goes ring. Do you want to spell it? Ring.
And it even has that resonant tone that you would account for, that weighty mica, formalca. You know, you expect there to be a frayed cord at the end of it, but there isn't. There's just this shiny slab, right? This metamorphosing gizmo that can be almost anything at any time. Because I assume that device is not just your phone, right?
It's also my calendar and daybook and address book. I can play games on it.
Right on.
Yeah, I can take pictures with it as well.
Have you made any pieces or heard of any pieces which talk about cell phones?
Yes, actually, there's a brilliant piece by a guy called Golan Levin from New York City. I don't know if either you might be familiar with the piece. He did a cell phone orchestra,
right?
Where he had the entire audience had to bring in their own cell phones, and they wrote down their numbers at the beginning of the performance, and then proceeded to play a composition using everyone's cell phones in the audience, which rang at the perfect time.
Excellent. That's wonderful.
It never worked in his rehearsal or programming or anything until the final performance. that I do know. It was an incredible feat of technological.
Yes, I also heard of a piece done based on a reworking of
Vaginal Scroll.
Pardon?
Are you talking about Velveeta's reenactment of?
No, but uh-huh, that's a good
that's
point.
Using a cell phone.
Velveeta, yes. The cheese.
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
Well, kind of. Stephanie, why didn't you tell us about that?
Well, there's an artist here in Vancouver named Velveeta, and there was a tribute to Carolee Schneeman that was going on at the Western Front, which I wasn't able to go see because I wasn't in town. But I heard that she, and so in Carolee Schneeman's Vaginal Scroll, she
right.
was a scroll out of her vagina, and so Velveeta used a cell phone.
Yes,
I think she rang.
And the comment, everyone, there were about 7 or 8 artists at doing this event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all did reworkings of this classic piece called Internal Scroll.
Oh, did they? There were 7?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
know. And so, there were a lot of things coming out of a lot of vaginas. But Velveeta's liner note, I don't know if you read that for that piece, was her something about her dialogue comes from all directions or all places at once, and saying not necessarily from her vagina. And so it was quite a surprise when the cell phone rang and she waited quite a while, and everyone was of course thinking who left their cell phone on, and then it materialized. But let's go to the next track, which I'm sure has got nothing to do with
cell phones.
Cell phones and
that was
and
a new model.
No, some. Well, okay, I won't make a bad joke. So this is a piece called Reaction by John Brennan, who was a classmate of mine last year, and he made this at Concordia, and let's see.
Hello.
On Co-op Radio, broadcasting live from Vancouver. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back. We were just discussing Barry Truax and Murray Schafer, which I'm sure you listeners are all familiar with because you listen to my show every third Wednesday of the month, which is easy to remember too. But actually, if you do find it difficult, I will send you a reminder. And if you send me an email at mbrady@inter-mission.org, I will send you a reminder every Wednesday, and then you'll have no troubles tuning in. But since you tuned in already, you've probably got that one today. So what were we saying about Barry Truax and Murray Schafer?
You were asking what Murray Schafer was up to these days.
That's right.
And I actually am in the know that he's going to be, what is he going to be exactly? A guest something or other at Concordia next year, and he's going to be doing this interdisciplinary project involving the music department, the dance department, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds really fun.
So he'll be working with the staff, as staff there?
Staff and students, right. As far as I know, yeah.
I haven't actually ever met him, but Barry is my one of my supervisors on my thesis, and I basically understand from the literature that Murray started the whole soundscape studies in SFU, and Barry sort of taken over from him. Mm-hmm. That's true?
Yes.
That is absolutely true.
Yes. I can confirm that. In 1972, I believe, Murray Schafer founded the department.
And Murray has become some sort of Luddite in a form? You know what
well,
I mean?
He's always had a certain agenda to recording soundscapes. I mean, like the whole Vancouver soundscape project was designed to measure the increasing levels of noise pollution within the city, and it's one of the only worldwide records of this. So it's the documentation of the rising Vancouver noise levels from Kitsilano Point and so on are sought after archives. Right. And he also wrote a book called Tuning the World, which set forth a kind of manifesto and agenda for preserving spaces of essentially natural silence or natural sound, which are not dominated by machinery and man.
Right.
Yeah.
And his sort of model.
Good for him, by the way.
Totally. Should we listen to the next track? Does someone else want to talk about soundscape studies some more?
No, I'm fine. The next piece, let's see how I can segue, is called La Cloche Fêlée, which I guess means the broken bell. It's by Pierre-Alexandre Tremblay. His sound source is a bell, so it's a very, you know, important sound mark that resonates for people.
Okay, and Stephanie, you sent me an email saying that you were looking for an 11 o'clock bell.
I am, and if anyone out there knows when a church or cathedral bell will be ringing tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., they could email me at stephanie@loveless.ca, because I volunteer to help out somebody who's doing an international installation project called Simultaneity, and he's getting recordings from all over the world at 11, well, the equivalent of 11 a.m. Vancouver time tomorrow morning.
How about a 9 o'clock gun?
Yeah, you know, I could.
We have one of those.
Well, the 9 o'clock is the problem. You know, whatever I get will be what I'll get. There may be no bells ringing.
So the idea here is to record. Everyone's recording something at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m.
At the equivalent of you know, wherever they are. So in Montreal,
tomorrow.
That'll be tomorrow.
And how many people are doing that?
I don't know. He didn't say how many people. He said how many places. I know there's Norway, there's Ireland, there's places sort of this Montreal. There's
right. Yeah. Sounds interesting. Okay, let's go with Mr. Is it? Yes.
Monsieur
Tremblay.
Thank you.
EMP. Are we on the air?
We are.
Hi, welcome back to Co-op Radio. We're talking about the Voices of the Dead and Satanic Mass.
And why were we talking about that?
We were talking about Anton LaVey, who conducted Satanic Mass and recorded a very interesting church organ and bell sounds, which somehow were tying into the piece we were just listening to.
Why do you think bell sounds are so intriguing? They seem to be a bit of a, something we keep getting coming back to.
Anyone? Well, you're both looking at me.
Yes.
I would say, what would I say? Well, it's a really rich, resonating sound. Mm-hmm. It sort of vibrates almost in the body sometimes when you're listening to something.
Speaking of vibrating, I think that's my phone.
Oh. Konstantin Radiv.
Yes?
Konstantin Radiv was
the bell?
Who, no, he claimed to find Voices of the Dead in electromagnetic tape, and he would record blank sections of electromagnetic tape over and over and then claim to hear Voices of the Dead in it. And there was an entire remix album put out on the Sub Rosa label of his work with strange remixes by people like DJ Spooky. But what's really fascinating are the original recordings, which are very freaky, very strange.
So this is kind of like spirit photography of sound?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. But what's fascinating about it is because it's magnetic tape, it just picks up its own resonances. It has this kind of weird analog detritus to it.
So are you talking about like a quarter-inch tape, do you think?
Yeah. So he was doing this in like the 50s and 60s.
Right.
He knew William Burroughs a bit. There was a bit of a crossover with Burroughs.
I can see where he would come to such an idea. Because I wonder now, like, if you buy a blank tape these days, it's pretty quiet. If you were to boost it up, it would be noise, right? So do you think that was true when he was doing this too? Like, maybe the factory didn't bother blanking it. They just make it.
I have no idea. Right. But the recordings are fascinating. And
really? There's something there, not just noise?
Well, it's just like this last piece we were listening to. There's sort of a resonance off the tail end of the bell, which then leads into this kind of digital explosion or implosion of sound. It really draws your thinking and your hearing towards, I don't know, something undefinable. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that last piece. It surprised me.
This next piece we're going to listen to is by Stephanie. And so would you like to tell us a little bit what you were thinking when you were composing this?
Wow. Well, what I was actually thinking was that for once I was going to just have fun making an electroacoustic composition for my class and not worry about how acousmatic it was. And so I just took a bit of piano badly recorded and played with it.
Wow. There's Olo J. Milkman. He's just stepped in. Say something, Olo, like, I don't know, hello?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear? Yeah, I think you should be there.
Hello.
A little louder?
Hello.
There we go.
Hi, Olo.
A little earlier, you were mentioning something about being in Montreal and encountering the electroacoustic music scene.
Banff.
And
it was Banff.
It was Banff.
It was
actually.
Banff.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time around the campus of the Banff Center in the 80s, and there was a large contingent of Montreal electroacoustic music people there, including a bunch of people who are now Canada Council types. So I don't like to speak of them, or bad
right.
things might happen.
Or you might not get a grant.
Yeah.
And
No, I don't care about grants, just bad things might happen to me. Because they do more than grants at the Canada Council.
Oh, that's a council chamber, is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
It's like a star chamber.
All
it's
right.
weird.
Jeez, reminds me.
It all comes back to Anton LaVey, tied in.
And so your perception was that this music wasn't that much fun. Here's my subtle segue.
I was also growing up and not really very well introduced to what electroacoustic music was all about. And so for my young years, it had no real point or purpose. And I had not really developed any way to appreciate what was actually being done. It just sounded like people screwing around with tape decks to me.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. There could be a lot of that.
I didn't involved. Appreciate that at the time.
It's just learning to actually like that.
Yeah. I hadn't learned to tap my toe to it.
No, can't.
Well, should we see how toe tapping this one is?
It makes my brain hurt.
You might be disappointed.
I feel my sternum bleeding listening to this music.
Here we go. Wow. I'm not doing so well today. This is the wrong piece.
This is not it.
That's a co-op radio.
You're listening to community-sponsored radio.
Listener-supported radio.
102.7.
There we go.
That button didn't work.
you're just here.